Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, August 1st, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 19, the first paragraph, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation, ending, Give Nearly All Their Time to the Work. Reading on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Terry H. Reader of the text, Leslie M. Denise G. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Stephanie L. The reference number for Sunday, July 31st, is 19,239. That's 19239. And for this morning, Monday, August 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the number is to be announced. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Elaine B. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne. Star one, Joanne. We can't hear you, Joanne. Okay, I'm going to ask Stephanie L. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater, but it sounds like our reader's here.
I'm so sorry I'm here.
Oh, no worries. Go ahead, Joanne.
Go for it.
Oh, my God, my phone hung up on me.
Oh, no worries. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, Team Monday. I'm so sorry. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Dawn. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one purpose, primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facilities or an outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committee directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. And I wanted to announce the reference number for our meeting earlier this morning. For Monday, August 1st, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, reference number 19241. That's 19241. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 19, the first paragraph, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation, ending, Give Nearly All Their Time to the Work, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. I'll now ask Leslie M. to read and share with us. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. None of us makes a soul vacation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in this sort of effort which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work. The part of this, there are two sentences in here that really spoke to me this morning. It says, we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. I've been around in LA for a very long time now and 32 years, in fact, and for 28 of those years, I thought that just putting the food down, that was the goal, and that was the best that it got. you know, that abstinence or following the food plan or being on the diet, losing the weight, that was the goal. Little did I realize that food was my solution, not the problem. So it says then, we feel that a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. So now that I have been entirely abstinent, I have worked the steps and become recovered, I have to behave differently. I have to act differently. Others may not ever notice it. Others may not ever acknowledge it, and that's okay. It doesn't matter. I know that I have to do something different. When I first started, being entirely abstinent and working the steps, I knew that basically what I was doing was defending always. I didn't want anyone else to hurt me. And, but what I had decided in the very beginning was if I have a thought about, okay, this is what I should do, that I needed to do a 180. I need to do exactly the opposite of that thought, you know. So, and in the end, my higher power has you know, my conception of a higher power has come to be love and acceptance, which I feel is pretty much the opposite of defending. But that really developed organically. So that's what I think now, is that I'm being loving and accepting of others in situations in my life, that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's exactly what I needed. I remember in the beginning, I would tell my sponsor, yeah, I was nice to this guy that I don't like at work. And she's like, you know, what do you want, a ticker tape parade? Because you did what you were supposed to. You did what you should always have been doing, you know. And that's really what it came down to, is that, you know, I thought that now I was being nice. Well, I should have been nice my whole life. So now I get to make up for it. And whether anyone notices it, as I said, whether anyone else notices it, acknowledges it, or changes anything around it, is not none of my business. It's my job now is to be kind, loving, and accepting to everyone that I meet, whether they be in program or not. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience.
Elaine G.
Yes. Hold on 1 second. If you would, please, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Elaine G.
Bruce E.
Okay.
Carrie G. Colorado.
Carrie G. Colorado.
Bruce E., did you get me? Wasn't sure if you got me.
Bruce E. Yep, I got you, Elaine. You can go ahead and mute.
All right. Sarah B., New York.
Robin
who,
B.
Who is from New York? I got you, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Sarah B.
Sarah B. from New York. Okay, I have Elaine G., Carrie G., Bruce E., Sarah B., Robin P. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Elaine G., please get us started.
This is Elaine G. From New York, and this is a very good paragraph. It's something that I really, I really worked the program while I was down there in Florida. I mean, yes, it's a lot more than just giving up the food. I didn't say giving up the food, but compulsively overeating. I didn't do it. It was amazing. I mean, I kind of try to find, you know, food to eat and this and that because my son was, yelling at me and abusive. And finally, while I was down there, I wrote a 10-step on him, how resentful and angry I was getting. And my part, the part I played, you know? And yes, I must admit, I wasn't perfect. I mean, when he started yelling at me, I yelled back. And then finally, when we were in the car going home from the airport, I was in Florida to visit my mom for a couple of days from Newark. We hit a lot of traffic, and my son was carrying on, complaining. And I finally decided I can't deal with it anymore, and I started texting. You know, because I would talk on the phone, he just interrupts. But anyway, he says he's really stressed out, with moving and this and that. His daughter has to go to special school. But anyway, so I started texting. Then he put on the radio, and he started listening to the radio, you know. And then I spoke with him, and I said, David, you can't just keep on yelling at everybody, especially his wife and me, and because he's stressed out. He has to... No, I said to him, you know, if you go to a therapist, maybe that will help. So you could just talk out what you're feeling instead of taking that on family and me. And so after that, things got a little bit better. And not that he's going to do that, but I prayed to God this morning that maybe God could help him get to a therapist, you know. And now it's not in my hands, but I wrote this 10th step. How did I, what was my part? I kept on, how would you say, escalating the conversation. You know, but he was getting to me because he kept on criticizing me. And then I also took care of myself where I told my son that I'm not eating breakfast with you, dinner with you, or lunch. I had to take care of myself, you know. And I was glad I did that. Then it was peace. I went to visit my mom. Time's up?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. And if you're just joining us, just a reminder that we are on page 19, the first paragraph, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation. And we're talking about that one paragraph only this morning. Carrie G., please share with us. Star one, Carrie. Okay, maybe Carrie had to step
Thanks.
Away.
Elaine.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much. Yes. Oh, this is Carrie G. Just so grateful to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, God. Oh, always giving credit where credit is due. Gratefully. Yeah. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. I like this idea that I have to, if I notice that I'm having a conversation with my sponsor about the food, which doesn't happen hardly anymore. Thank you, God. That things are off. I feel like I get to move into a greater aspect of my life when I'm working the program. And I liked on the first call this morning the idea of balance, the idea of this spectrum of our lives that. There's been times in my program, in my experience, where I do nothing. I do so much program that my life is not very big. And then if I start letting my life get really, really big, then I'm tempted to relapse. And so I have to find that right in the middle. Get, you know, like my husband's so funny. He says in the middle, and he taps on his chest. Like we're talking about the heart. That's where I need to come from a place of love. And that's where my higher power comes in and I can tap into that, that resource that's always there, you know, right inside me that I can always remind myself that, I'm always being taken care of. If I'm, you know, the elimination of food happens, then God is working in my life. I can always tap into that inner resource. And it reminds me, one of my favorite lines in the book is on page 55, like the great reality is deep down within us. Each one of us has that power and it's right inside of us. And so if I'm looking on, say, the mirror, the outside of me, that's my thinking is out of whack. But if I can just tap into that source inside of me, then I'm always being taken care of. So just super grateful that I have a sponsor that reflects back to me, you know, the insanity in my head, but that words have power. So today I'm healthy and I'm grateful for this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carrie G. from Colorado. Bruce E., please share with us. star one.
Good morning.
Oh,
yeah, hi. I'm here. Good morning. It's Bruce E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Fort Myers, Florida. And thank you, everybody, on the call. So the sole vocation of this work, none of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. So, yeah, I thought, well, first of all, I'd like somebody to pay me to be on this line. Somebody to pay me to do this. But nobody's going to pay me to do it. So that's good, because if I got paid to do this, I'd lose my abstinence. But I can't do this thing 40, 50 hours a week, you know. But I'm doing a lot more work than I was ever doing before. Like down at the bottom of this paragraph, it says, so situated they can give nearly all the time to this work. So for the first 25 years, I'd give a little time to it. You know, I'd do some step work in the morning. I'd go to a meeting once a week, maybe twice a week. That made me feel better. And I'd have a sponsor, but maybe I was doing step work, maybe I wasn't. And I was wondering why for 25 years I really never did get recovered. Because I wasn't really putting the work in. You know, I wasn't doing the work, really, that I needed to be doing. So it says here, elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. So all I did was eliminate the compulsive eating. That was the beginning. All I got was the beginning. I kept going back, trying to eliminate it, going back, trying to eliminate it, going back, trying to white-knuckle it in between, and then trying to do well. I'd do well for a while, and then I'd eliminate it for a while, and then, man, it'd come back on me. And I never really did this work, and I didn't use the big book to do it either. So I'm happy that I'm doing much better now, and I'm understanding this thing a little bit better than I used to. So I got in the program Vision 5 years ago. Got a vision sponsor. We started reading this book together every day. And okay. The obsession and the compulsion started to lift. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Sarah B., please share with us, followed by Robin P.
From New York. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Yeah, the few words that this is just a beginning really jumped out at me, because I, too, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic, and I thought, you know, after being anorexic and losing a lot of weight and looking, I wasn't looking perfect, but I thought I was looking perfect, gained a whole bunch of weight, you know, ate in a very destructive, addictive manner, and I thought just losing the weight and getting back to being, you know, super thin was the answer to all my problems, and you know, being on a food plan, et cetera. And I was half measures, doing OA half measures for a couple of years. You know, I wanted the weight loss, but I didn't know I wanted the whole program. I was in my 20s. And I came around. I saw that the people that were working the program fully, working the steps, doing the big book, doing service, they were recovering. They had what I wanted. And my eyes opened up, and I said, well, maybe it's just a lot more than the food. Maybe it's just a lot more than being a normal weight. I have to change inside. I have to get my head on differently. I've got to, like the, you know, a speaker said, I've got to do things differently. You know, thank God for the draft folder and the emails. You know, I've got to, like, my first thought's not always the best. It does come from defending myself from perceived harm or sarcastic comments or whatever that is in my head, you know, and being super thin was a shield, just like overeating was a shield, very unhealthy shield. So for me, yeah, it's just a beginning. It took me a while, but I came around, and I've been blessed with abstinence and a different way of life. You know, I'm nervous about the word recovered. I feel like it's a one day at a time process. I'm more comfortable saying recovering, but I do have the steps and the program. Thank you, dear God, every day in my life, and a wonderful connection with my higher power, and just coming in the rooms was but a beginning. It was just so much more than I had thought it would be. So thank you all for your recoveries and sharing on visions, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah B. from New York. Robin P., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up to take names of more people who would like to share on the paragraph on page 19, the first paragraph, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation. Go ahead, Robin P., please share with us.
Thanks so much, Dawn, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Dallas, Texas. You know, I'm so grateful to all of you, and thank you all for your prayers. I just wanted to make sure I thanked everybody. The surgery went really well on Friday, and I'm doing very well, thank God. And God bless you all. I felt like I totally felt my God squad, and I'm eternally grateful for my God squad, and I got my God squad here. So thank you. None of us make a sole vocation of this work, but and we don't think effectiveness would be increased if we did. But we just get to show up in our daily lives and be a walking big book, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. It means so much to me that I get to do that. And you know, one of the things that the doctors and the nurses kept saying to me after the surgery was, oh, my gosh, you're doing so well. You're so different than everybody else, literally said this, who just had surgery. You don't even look like you just had a major surgery. And I, you know, I talked to the doctor about it, and he said, I think it's your healthy habit. You know, you're so fit. You exercise and you eat so healthy. My husband and I are organic, gluten-free vegans. And, you know, our food is our medicine. And he said, I really think it's the way that you take care of yourself, that your body is just doing so well. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I'm still having some digestion stuff from the anesthesia, and I still get to be abstinent through that. And but it's just showing up in my daily life and being a big book to the people that I'm with and you know, and carrying the message. And I'm just eternally grateful that I get to do that. And, you know, I actually asked the doctor to pray with me before the surgery in the operating room, and he did. And I asked for Christian music, and they played it. And I get to do this with God and my fellows. So thank you all. God bless you all. And, you know, one other thing I just wanted to say was I'm so grateful to be working the steps with my sponsees and for my sponsor. And, you know, all of this, everything that it talks about in this book. And what a blessing having a sponsee going through the steps right now. It's my favorite part of the day, that and being with my husband. So thank you all so much. God bless you. It's a very blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica and currently in Texas. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on the first paragraph on page 19, None of Us Makes a Soul Vocation, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Linda R.
Linda R.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C.
Dina B.
M.
Okay, hold on here. Let's see. I have Linda R., Cynthia C., and who are the other ones?
Darcy M.
Darcy M. And there was another voice in there.
Dina
B. Cheryl. And what's your initial, Cheryl?
A.D.
Cheryl A.D. And there was another voice in there.
Dina B.
Dina B., perfect. Okay, I have Linda R., Cynthia C., Darcy M., Cheryl A.D., and Dina B. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Linda R., please share with us, followed by Cynthia C.
Thank you. This is Linda R., recovered in, I'm in North Carolina right now. Anyway, just so grateful. The meeting is so powerful, and thank you for your service, everyone on the line. Anyway, you know, that last paragraph, you know, for me, when I came into program many, many years ago, you know, my program was extremely strict, very rigid, very robotic. I did whatever I was told. It was really extreme. And, you know, for me right now in my life, the extremism, you know, I self in me at the end of the word extremism. So things were not really in balance. So today, you know, I remember also it was very, very, as I observed a lot of people when I first came into OA, there were a lot of people that weren't working at the time. And there were people that were really making the program a full-time job. I mean, they went out there and we used to have like these little pamphlets and stickers and they would go out into public forums and give everything out and, you know, just try to really spread the message. So it was like, I said, wow, these people, they don't work. You know, I was working and, you know, although I had the food down, you know, my life was not that manageable at the time. So for today, you know, I don't make the program my full avocation or vocation. I really like try to do it balanced. And they used to have this analogy of the stool with the three legs, emotional, physical, and spiritual. So for today, like when I'm working with other people, like if they tell me, I ask every day when we do the check-in, what is your gap? Where are you with God? Where are you with abstinence? And where are you with program? And if any of those areas are faltering, you know, the balance of this, of that, you know, the three-legged stool, we work on that every day. So that's really what I wanted to share, that although, you know, when I came in, it was like everything was so extreme. And I was on that pink cloud. I wanted to share my program with everybody in the world, but I didn't really have that transformation. I had all the information, but I didn't transform. And today, things are in balance. Like, I work my program. I have my social life, the pyramid of recovery. God, self, others, social life, and work. So thank you for...
Thank you so much, Linda R. from North Carolina. Cynthia C., please share with us, followed by Darcy M. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. This is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive eater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, and everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm so deeply grateful to get on today. And thank you for allowing me to share. Really like this. And this phrase, I think the one that jumps out for me today, because it's always, every time we read this, something different jumps out at me with each of the paragraphs. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And when I first came into program over 5 years ago, I really needed to dive into program. Like did it consume me? Maybe. It was better than consuming everything else I was eating, for sure. I had to put a huge, huge amount of time into program. And don't get me wrong, I still do. Like, I need to wake up in the morning and I need to devote, for me, this is just for me, like an hour of my time to doing my morning routine. And if I skip it for more than a day, then I can feel it. I become in conflict with other people, usually my husband. But, you know, one of the things that when it talks about, you know, I have changed dramatically. When I came into program, I was filled with anger and resentment, and I ate over everything. And I thought everything was everybody else's fault. I really felt like a victim. And by working the 12 steps here, and then when I found I still had the same resentments over and over again, I realized I needed to go to Al-Anon. And so by working the 12 steps in both programs, I have changed. And as I have changed, you know, my husband's become a much nicer person. Like, as I have changed, things have changed. As I apply the principles of this program in my home, and I applied it in my job, my whole career shift in my where I was working completely shifted. As I changed and I started getting along with people better, we had a family reunion yesterday with my mother's extended, like my mother's side of the family, and I had a lot of trepidation about going because I have all these lies in my head that my mother filled me in. You know, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I'm too that. It doesn't matter what size my body is. Like, I just had all these lies in my head of why I don't fit in and I'm not good enough. And I was so grateful to apply the principles of this program and the steps and to do a morning routine and dig in deep and look at those lies and uncover those lies and share them with my sponsors and program friends and let that go and to show up, you know, with my abstinent food with me at this family program and to be present and
time.
And to thank you, and to accept people for who they were in that moment in time. I'm really grateful to share this with you. And for newcomers, recover, this program does work. Just keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Darcy M., please share with us, followed by Cheryl A.D.
This is Darcy M. from Nebraska. I had something happen yesterday while I was in church, which also, I mean, I know it happened in church, but it applies here. But I happened to go, and I've been abstinent for a couple of days, and I went into church and immediately started crying, or weeping, to be actually, so I didn't make a scene. And I stayed like that for the entire 2.5 hours. And we happened to have a luncheon or a short luncheon afterwards for someone that came back after being gone for a while. But the point is the fact that I opened up inside and I could feel my higher power and everything cleared up. Everything cleared. I could feel him. And when I came home, and I was like, I looked at food and it was like, yeah, it's there, but I didn't want it at the time. And it was amazing because I didn't want it. I wasn't hungry. I hadn't ate much. I had ate very little, actually. And it was just like, I didn't care if I ate, but I knew I had to eat something a little later on. And the entire day was like, the entire day was just one day of gratefulness. I was open to, my body felt like it was open to everything. So I feel like I had a spiritual awakening, but yet it was just, it came from church. It started there and it just stayed like that all day. And that was the first time that I actually did not care if the food was around me. And I knew it was there, and I knew I had to eat it, but it was just, it's called neutrality. I don't know. But now this morning, I don't have that ease, that peace, but it's there. I can still have the feeling of peace. I feel my higher power. We started out a little rough this morning, but it's come back, and I really enjoy that. And I guess with that, now I'm starting. Okay, I'll finish. I'll just say I'm starting to get with the food, and it's feeling good. And I'll end with that. And I thank you all for your service, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Darcy M. from Nebraska. And just as a reminder, we're on page 19, the first paragraph. None of us makes a soul vocation, commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Cheryl A.D., please share with us, followed by Dina B. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. And I think it's Dawn giving service. Thank you. And I believe it was Leslie. Thank you both so much. Thank you, Leslie, for your words in the beginning. I really appreciated them. I wanted to focus on that sentence, a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. So the principles that I've been exposed to in relation to each step are step one would be honesty. Two would be faith or hope. Three would be surrender. Four, clarity. or courage. 5 would be integrity. 6 willingness. 7 humility. 8 love. 9 responsibility or integrity. 10 discipline or perseverance. 11 awareness. And 12 service or generosity. And if I only focus on my 12 steps and working my program so I get relief, I'm not carrying out that 12th step, which is generosity. And I'm not fitting myself to be of maximum service. And I will, again, for sure. It's an oxymoron that my unselfishness leads to my survival. Or maybe it's not an oxymoron. It's really interesting to me also about this sentence, because it's taken it out on the road. It's taken it out into with my family and my workplace everywhere. And I'll just wrap up with this. You know, Bill wrote the 12 points in, I think, 1939, which later were published as the traditions. And I just have this thought and feeling inside that this is like a precursor to that. The steps saved my life. The traditions saved my fellowship. And I'm so grateful for both and for all of you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl A.D. from California. Now, Dina B., please share with us, and then I'll open up the lines to take one or two more names. Go ahead, Dina.
Hi, this is Dina B. in New Hampshire. I'm a compulsive eater. And the sentence that I wanted to, that was very significant for me, was we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. At first, I didn't understand the statement because I thought abstinence was the goal. Now I understand that abstinence doesn't automatically mean being recovered. I also have eating behaviors and character defects I need to surrender to God and this program. And for me, that takes daily work of the 12 steps, using the tools, and belonging to the fellowship. I want recovery in all areas of my life. Early on, I heard about abstinence first without exception. Today, I say God first without exception. Without God and OA, I lose everything. I'm just very grateful to be here, be able to share, and for Team Monday, I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina B. from New Hampshire. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take a couple more names. We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who hasn't shared in a while that would like to share on page 19, that first paragraph?
Cheryl F., Nevada.
Cheryl S. And Cheryl S. And was that Deborah?
Deborah G.
Okay, go ahead, Cheryl.
This is Cheryl, recovering compulsive overeater in Nevada. And what this paragraph kind of said to me was, it puts it in context with, it's talking about the 12th step. And when we come into program, steps 1, 2, and 3, we put down the food. Steps 4 through 9, we clean up the wreckage of our past, the people, the places, the things that we let slide while we were in the food. And then 10 through 12 is us living our daily lives, and 12 is carrying the message. And what this paragraph says to me is, don't let step 12 become your new addiction. Because it's talking about, you know, we carry the message to the still suffering, but not at the expense of our families, our occupations, and our affairs. Because if we do that, then we just have to start over again. And I think that and we have to make amends, you know, 4 through 9, because we've caused wreckage by putting the program, you know, we put the program first, but it's seamless. It should fit seamlessly into our lives. And I love the order of the steps, because you do have to start by putting down the food. You have to start by, you know, that beginning is getting out from underneath the drug and then fixing things so you can go forward with a clear conscience. And I was thinking when I was first reading this, you know, nobody wants to talk to somebody who's just constantly talking, you know, is like the big book thumper and it's just in your face and that's all they ever talk about is program, program, program. And nobody likes to listen to somebody just God, 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 you know. But when those things fit seamlessly into your life and they come up naturally in conversation, I think that's when we can be of most service. So this was a great paragraph, and it's a good reminder that I need to be of service. I need to be sympathetic and understanding to my fellow man, but that's not my sole purpose in life. I have a family. I have, you know, other things in my life that I need to tend to, and I want to live life. I want to fit the program into my life. And that's what's important. So thank you to everyone for being on the line and for those people giving service. Have a wonderful day in my path.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Deborah G., please share with us, and you have about a two and a half minute share.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everyone for your service. I'm so grateful to be on this call. Deborah G. from Arizona. And, you know, wow, I love all the shares. Thank you for 12-stepping me. And I remember I put down my last alcoholic food, and then I got myself an Early Vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps quickly. And then living in 10, 11, and 12 after that, oh, I'm so glad that I did that. I don't know how much more I could have suffered, but I probably could have. But I'm just so glad that, you know, I got a new way of living. I got a transformation, you know. And that wasn't done by me. It was done to me by taking the action of being open-minded and honest and doing the process of going through those steps. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona, for your share and for everyone who shared making this meeting just a beautiful, beautiful experience. So we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Denise G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service. My name is Denise G., a compulsive overeater from Northern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you